for the weekend. Good morning, it's Trina. If you're just about to have a lovely pan au chocolat or something tasty today, I'm sure you'd be very familiar with the man called Andrew Smith, who was a finalist on the Great British Bake Off back in 2016, because people are obsessed with this show. But this week it is Science Week, and baking in space returns to Science Week. And I was kind of thinking, what has Andrew Smith got to do? Well, like, what's baking and science? How is that connected? What I didn't realise, Andrew, is that you're also an aerospace engineer. Very fancy indeed.
Yes. So I work 4 days a week as an aerospace engineer in aircraft design. And then the other day in the week, I can dedicate to creative projects. And that's how I ended up getting connected with Niamh Shaw, now a close friend who is a space champion and enthusiast. We're both passionate about space. We both love to eat. So that's how the show came about, baking in space.
It's very different, I'll tell you that much. So there is a connection, though, you were saying, you know, there's a connection between baking and the engineering that helps keep astronauts alive in space. What is the connection?
Yeah, absolutely. So one example that I absolutely love, which we used in the show last year, is when astronauts return from orbit and re-entry. The method that they're protected from that intense heat is the exact same method as how meringue works on the outside of a baked Alaska. It's all to do with pockets of air. Now, obviously, they don't use egg whites on the space shuttle. They use silica fibers instead. But it's still the same principle. You get a load of air in there. Air is a great insulator, and that protects your precious cargo, be it astronauts or ice cream, from the intense heat on the outside.
No way. I actually never knew any of this. So this really helps in your career, the fact that, and it helps in the baking too, the fact that you know so much about science. I would never have thought about that. Maybe this is why I'm so rubbish at baking, because I was never good at science in school either. It's crazy to think, isn't it? COVID has obviously wrecked the plans for most people this year, and you've taken this show online, which a lot of people have done. And if anyone interested, there's some online shows today, isn't there? And tomorrow on the website. What is the website, first of all? Give us those details.
So it's www.britishcouncil.ie/baking in space. And the show's tonight and tomorrow, both at 7 p.m. And both completely free. You know, we're aware that everybody's having a little bit of Zoom fatigue, it's fair to say, at the moment. So we've really made a big effort to get loads of incredible guests in. We've got an activity pack that you and the little ones can try from the comfort of home as well. And we're speaking to Britain's first astronaut, Helen Sharman, and asking her for her recommendation for a recipe that would actually work in space. So it's all very exciting.
Can you imagine? I can just see someone baking away up in space there. Speaking of the baking, I do have a couple of questions about the bake-off, because so many people loved it. My first one is, you know when they turn around and they say, okay, this week you're going to be baking X, Y, or Z. Are you supposed to have literally every recipe you can imagine memorised? Because when it comes to baking, it's a bit different to the cookery shows, in that with cooking, you can kind of just throw in a bit of this and a bit of that. Baking is very precise when it comes to the ingredients. And if you put in a little bit too much flour or a little bit too little sugar or whatever, it can totally wreck it, can't it? So did you have to memorize pretty much everything that could possibly be baked in the world?
So for the signature and showstopper, we got to practice those a bit at home. So not so much memorization required, but for the technical in the middle, you have no idea what's going to come up. So you try and, you know, do a bit of Googling, do a bit of research to try and predict what could come up. But usually it's something that nobody's heard of. So you really have to rely on your intuition and trying to understand the science. So that was really my approach, was trying to understand why things are added in certain aspects of baking. So why do we have flour here? Why do we have butter or not oil in this recipe? And once I understood that, when something unfamiliar came up, I could at least, you know, have a decent guess at what I was meant to do, even though it didn't always pan out as well as I hoped.
God, that's nuts, isn't it? Because even I know for myself, even, you know, making something that I've done 100 times before, I still have to have the recipe out. My memory is terrible. I would never really know it off by heart. Was there ever a case where, what I tend to do, you forget to turn on the oven?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that happened to me in the tent. So I was midway through a recipe. I was meant to turn the oven down. Instead of turning it down, I somehow managed to turn the oven off during the technical. About 20 minutes went past, and everybody else was taking their bake oil tarts out of the oven, and mine was just slowly sinking in the middle. And I was thinking, what's going on here? And then I saw the temperature bar at about 80 degrees, and I kind of just screamed. So that became a gift afterwards of me just kind of gasping and staring at the oven.
Well, you know you've made it when you become a gif, isn't that it?
I know, right?
And tell me just about the process of getting picked for the Great British Bake Off. Do you have to bake to audition and show that you're actually half decent?
You know what, it's a little bit shrouded in secrecy, but what I can say is that there's several stages that go from really testing your knowledge in kind of interviews with experts. And also, yeah, you have to appear in person and bring baked things along. So they've obviously got so many people to choose from. So everybody who goes on the show has proved that they are at a certain level of baking. And then the rest of it, how they make that final decision, is still a mystery to me. But I was one of the lucky ones to get picked.
If that were me now, do you know what I'd be doing? I'd be popping into Marks and Spencer's, getting a Colin the Caterpillar cake and passing it off as my own. Add a few sweets,
try and make it
look. Yeah, try and make it look a little bit different. But yeah, I'd totally cheat.
A blamed up Colin the Caterpillar, that's not a bad strategy.
So you must be really in demand. Never mind doing your normal day job, the 4 day a week as an aerospace engineer. You must be in demand around this time of year because Christmas is coming. Do you get orders in now for Christmas cakes and Christmas puddings and all that kind of thing?
Well, only really from friends and family, to be honest. So I don't run a baking business. You know, I'm not disciplined enough to be getting up at 4 a.m. to do all the baking for that. So I generally do stuff for friends and family. But yeah, there's a lot of, I run some online baking classes now, which have been really popular with folks in the States. I think especially this year, there's been a lot of inquiries from, you know, work teams or groups of friends wanting to do something a bit different around the festive period. So I think that's going to be the busiest this year, but it's wonderful fun. I love doing those. You get to meet people from all over.
God, you certainly have a very varied week, don't you? Because you've gotten very involved in television now as well as a result of this. And I suppose Bake Off made you very well known on the telly, and then you can make your way into more science-based television as well, which is really your background.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I really do have dreams in the longer term of being an engineering broadcaster. So at the moment, I'm saying yes to as many opportunities as possible. I'm trying to kind of just develop those production skills as well. So that's one of the reasons that it's been so great to be involved in baking in space, just in terms of meeting people, kind of learning what I really enjoy doing and, you know, stirring up that curiosity in people and really explain to them what engineering is really important to me, because so many people think of it as just being behind a computer, tapping away on the keyboard in kind of a darkened room, whereas it's exciting, it's creative, it's about solving problems that are important to people, and I hope we can transfer a little bit of that with the show.
Now, here's a question. Are you anything like the lads in The Big Bang Theory?
In what way?
In every way. Everyone thinks that, you know, when you think of astronauts and you think of aerospace engineering, anything like that in that field, or science in general, actually, they think The Big Bang Theory and Sheldon Cooper.
There are certainly a few people like that in the office, but I have to say that the great majority, there's so much diversity, really, in engineering. And, you know, there are a few stereotypes around, but I'm keen to try and break some of those down. I think all the engineers I've met are fascinating people because they're very curious about the world, and I think that's a wonderful thing. I think it's good to ask questions, not take things at face value. And you know, we're lucky that we've got some partners in this show as well. Both the British Council and Yakult have been fantastic supporters. When Niamh and I had this wild idea at the beginning for baking in space, you know, a lot of people would have run a mile, but they stood behind us, and we're clearly onto something, because we had a sellout run last year and we got some fantastic feedback. So I think, you know, a lot of people might secretly love engineering. They just don't know it yet.
I think kids are getting so into this as well, aren't they? And even when you see there's so many even toys available that teaches children about this kind of thing, it is a great job to have, isn't it, down the line? I would imagine it's not the worst paid job in the world. Would I be right, Andrew?
Oh, yeah. It's pretty competitive, I would say. But, you know, it's not all about the money at the end of the day.
Come on now, it kind of is.
It is really fulfilling, though. And, you know, engineers, with all the challenges that the world is facing, you know, scientists and engineers that are going to be the ones kind of at the centre of solving those problems. So it really does help you get up in the morning knowing that you're working on something important, that you're getting to use your brain, that you're figuring out how things work you're creating things. It was a job I was kind of destined for, but I didn't realise that until quite late on, because no one sat me down and told me what an engineer does.
And here's me just playing a few songs and talking to a few people. Absolutely disgraceful. do you think now, given the opportunity, would you go into space yourself?
I think if it was a brief stint, then yes. If it was for kind of, you know, a week or two on the space station, absolutely. If it's for something a bit longer or a trip to Mars, I think I'd miss too many things on Earth. But I know my co-host, Niamh, she absolutely wants to go up there. So I think I'd give her my ticket if I was lucky enough to be given one, because it would mean a great deal more to her.
Well, didn't they say a few years ago, wasn't it, Richard Branson was going to be selling tickets into space, like as if they were, you know, a normal flight from London to Dublin or something like that. But I don't know. I don't know whether we're that close to it or not. And listen, tell me...
You can still book tickets, but I think it's about six figures.
Oh, is it? Oh, right. Okay.
So I
might cross that one off the Christmas list. Probably won't be happening this year. Tell me this much, just to finish up. You baked a rotating jet engine cake for Prince William. How do you do that? Because I'm sure that's something I could get done in my lunch hour today, yeah?
With a lot of panic. So I was asked to do that Prince William cake to visit Rolls Royce, and I made a secret kind of skeleton in the centre of the cake, but everything you could see on the outside was edible. So it looked just like a jet engine. It had some gingerbread fan blades on top, but what Prince William didn't know was that it could completely rotate. So he walked over, kind of said, "Well done." And I said, "Oh, go on, give it a spin." And he looked at me and said, "You must be joking." And I said, "Oh, no, go ahead." And he spun it, and then he turned around and said, "You should have won." And, you know, one of the most gratifying moments ever, that one.
Were you nervous wrecked? You get kind of all shaky when these people come up to you because they're so famous, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. And there was about 20 kind of media from the press pool there as well. So I was kind of shaking like a leaf, just hoping that he'd enjoy what he saw and that I didn't say anything stupid. So in the footage, when I look back at it now, I look like a nervous wreck, but it was a great experience.
Are there all rules then, things that you can and you can't say and all this kind of, or is that kind of the, like in the dark ages, all that's gone out the window now? Because Prince William and Kate, they're kind of cooler now, aren't they?
Well, I still had kind of a briefing on what I should say, how I should address it, exactly what was going to happen. You know, it's all planned down to a T. Yeah. So I had that in the back of my mind as well. I kept on thinking, oh, we've only got 30 more seconds and I need to make sure he's in that room over there.
Do you know what? I'd be one of these. I'd totally break the rules and I'd give him a fist bump or something like that and I'd be thrown out of the place. Listen, it's so good.
You're going to be tackled by someone.
I know. Can you imagine? Listen, you're so good. Do you remember, actually, you might not know this, but the Pope came to Dublin there 2 years ago and obviously, you know, all phones and everything was banned and he was meeting a few young people and this girl went up to him and she got to take a selfie with the Pope. I don't know how she managed to sneak the phone in, but the whole country were saying, oh my God, what a legend that she actually managed to do that. It was brilliant. A selfie with the Pope. Andrew, that's great. So we're going to be able to see that online today and tomorrow, so 7 o'clock, and the website again for the what's it called?
Baking in Space, and it's britishconsul.ie/baking in space, or just check out Niamh and I's Instagram. All the details are on there.
And what's your Instagram? Give us that the name there.
It's Cake Smith, Smith with a Y, so CakeSmyth. Loads of baking inspiration on there if you fancy it as well.
Oh yeah, the only problem is the eating of it. I see, I eat the lot. I'm not able to resist. It's not good for the waistline. Thanks so much, Andrew. The best of luck. That sounds absolutely intriguing and hopefully we'll have you on again. Thanks so much.
Pleasure. Thanks, Tina.
Cheers. This is Something for the Weekend. It's Classic Hits.